Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 28. I'm Janice Cunning.
And I'm David Langiuli. And Janice, we have a special guest today, Kristen Krista, who is the Director of Major Gifts at Franklin and Marshall College. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah, hey. It feels like a bit of a reunion because Kristen's been in some of our courses. So it's sort of fun for us all to be here together.
Yeah. And I got to know Kristen a few years ago when she was transitioning from Staten Island to Franklin and Marshall. And we did some coaching together, as I recall, Kristen, just while you were kind of in transition.
Yes.
And I remember we shared, you know, we share a lot. We both have daughters, and my mm-hmm. wife, of course, was born and raised in Staten Island. So we all have all those stories about Staten Island, which we will not go through right now. But just want to express our gratitude for writing a really cool blog post. Very comprehensive and quite wide-ranging in terms of your own leadership development. So thanks for putting that up on the Fundraising Leadership blog, and we want to talk a little bit about it with you today.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you to maybe start, Kristen, with what inspired it.
So that's a great question, Janice. As I thought more about where my career has gone and how my family plays an incredible role in supporting me and allowing me to focus on both home and work on multiple levels, I was really thinking about some of the lessons I learned from the coaching classes that I experienced with the two of you, the conversations I've had with David over the past 4 years, and how I really use so much of what I've learned professionally in the office and at home. And so I just started thinking about the lessons, you know, how do I follow up and follow through with my prospects, my staff, my family? How does the really fun yes and improv exercises that we did in the coaching classes that I did in my professional development here at F&M, how does that, you know, play into my everyday work and the fun things that I do at home? So it was
Yeah, I'm curious. You shared a story. We shared a story with one another before we got on the podcast here. One story from your family with your girls recently. I don't know if you quite want to share, you know, what was going on with them in their extracurricular activities. And well, I'll share my story then. You know, we talked about follow up, follow through, mm-hmm. and my younger daughter. Is, and it was actually your little the description of that in your blog post prompted me to follow up and follow through with my wife and daughter at home here. It's a leadership context. Janice and I do a whole workshop on a culture of accountability, and they have an action item for my younger daughter to apply for the engineering camp, the summer engineering camp at Bucknell this summer, and it's Friday and hasn't happened yet. So thank you for reminding me to follow up and follow through with my own family. I'm curious how that plays out for you both at work and at home.
Sure. As my daughters have gotten older, their expectations of my presence and my follow through have increased, as to be expected, from filling out forms to play sports in school to, as I mentioned in the article, you know, just ironing on badges for Girl Scouts. I mean, that makes my younger daughter feel incredibly important because I've taken the time, I've recognized her accomplishments, and I've placed them on her vest, which she then wears to meetings and to outings for Girl Scouts. And those little things, sometimes they're very, very small, and sometimes they're really, really big, but they mean a great deal to them and make them feel as important as I want them to feel, because they are the center of, you know, my family life along with my husband. And then here in the office with prospects, you know, every prospect is important. Every donor is important. And I joke with one of my team members that every time you walk away from a meeting, you want the donor to feel like they just left Disney World, that it is this wonderful experience that they have with you as a representative of the college. And then they know through your follow-up and follow-through that you will be their guide as they learn about philanthropy. And it says that they're important. It says that the work that you're doing for the college is important as well. So I find that both in and out of the office, those two things really integrate and are important. I used important about six times. So
they're important, yes.
Well, yeah.
Kristen, you coined a new phrase in this blog post. Why don't you tell us about your phrase?
My mom geo.
Yes.
Or mom go, as David says.
Mom go. It's like a mamba. It's like a mamba for a mom who's a major gift officer. The mamba. The mom go.
It's, you know, major gift work sometimes can be 24 hours a day. And that integration to separate and realize, you know, family is important as well as your work is part of you too. I kind of thought it was fun when I, you know, the creation of those two together, that mom geo or yeah. mom go, because I'm on a mom on the go, or I'm a MGO being a mom, you know, depending on what side of the day you find me.
Well, and I think, you know, when you first wrote it and we were sort of corresponding, what I said to you was I loved how you are taking this, like everything you're learning and integrating it both into work and life. Like that's what really struck me as something, you know, whether people have children or spouses or, you know, parents they're caring for or siblings, whatever your family situation is, this sense for you, like, do you feel like you always did that, or has that evolved for you, that integration?
Janice, it's definitely evolved. As I've, probably over the last 4 years, really, as I've stepped into my role here at F&M and we've settled into Lancaster, and I've had the opportunities that I've had through improvisation workshops and the Plus Delta Partners training that we've had here, the fundraising leadership coaching classes and things like that, you know, it's all created this synergy between home and work, and how lessons that you use when you work with individuals in the office can truly work in a similar way at home with those you love. And it's not saying that I'm applying work to my family life. It's, there's some really cool things I've learned over the past couple of years that enhance the relationships I have at home and make us silly when we play yes and games, or when we're in the car and, you know, creating a story of using one word, which, you know, Cheetos comes up a lot, poop always comes up, you know, it's just
poop,
it's
always comes up.
Always.
Absolutely. Always. You gotta have poop in the story.
Right. So it's just, and we sit around sometimes in development team meetings here and we'll play yes and, you know, yes and the weather is great today because blah blah blah. And someone says yes and this. And so for us as a team, we're relaxing, we're playing off of each other and working in a more trusting environment. And then the same thing is at home, where you're allowing, or I'm allowing my family to be confident and try new things. And it's a safe space where it's not judged and it's not looked upon negatively. It's a very fun experience for them to express themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's, I love it, what you're bringing in, you know, the type of coaching that David and I do, coactive coaching. Like one of our cornerstones is focus on the whole person. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, when we do our training and when we do our coaching, like that's always our hope, is that like things that people learn, even if it is in a work context, mm-hmm. that they actually use in their life.
Yeah. And we take a stand, Janice and I, and I think you experienced this, Kristen, in our online leadership course and our online coaching program. We take a stand that everyone is a leader in all aspects of their lives. So this is like, I love what you're saying about, you know, living and leading an integrated life. You can, you know, it's kind of like all like this. I'm like wiggling my hands in the infinity symbol. The audience can't see that, but it kind of all goes together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I love that we're you made a lot of brilliant points in the article, but we're really focusing on kind of the follow up and follow through and the yes and. And the one thing that really struck me too with the follow through is integrity, which is also a big piece of, you know, what David and I are up to in the world. And so let's talk a little bit about with your team, like how do you think that taking a stand for follow up and follow through has made you a better leader?
Oh, that's a really good question. Modeling that to them filters down. And when we go to meetings, when we're sitting here in our one-on-one meetings, I don't have my phone out. So one of the things I learned in the class, we were talking about, if you have your phone and you're sitting in a meeting, you're not fully present and fully complete in that setting. And so everyone notices. And I've noticed it since we had that conversation a lot more. And I will ask someone to put their phone away if we're in a meeting because they're not fully with me. And when we sit in these meetings, on our one-on-ones in particular, we're here together. That is the time that I am focused on that particular teammate, about what's happening in the field for them. And then we talk about the meetings that they've had with their prospects and how they've been present in there. And that kind of goes along with like listening to understand and not reply. So we're present, we're complete, we're doing our follow-up and our follow-through, and we're also being complete with them in that moment. So that modeling of that behavior and talking about it is really, really important to develop relationships with donors.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. you keep bringing up the word being complete. And Janice and I, in the leadership course, we talk about integrity being whole and complete. That's actually the definition. So it doesn't live in the land of, so people get a little confused and they feel like it's a bit judgmental because it might live, they think it like somehow I'm an unethical person if I'm not in integrity, or I'm an immoral person if I'm out of integrity. Not at all. It's just that things become more workable when they are whole and complete. That's what integrity is. So I'm glad you're taking that into your team. And I also like that you mentioned it in the context of donor conversations. I think it's so important when we, as fundraising leaders, are out there interacting with existing donors, prospective donors, that we really are mindful of being whole and complete with them. That is to say, honoring our word. So I'd like you to just share a little bit more about how important that's been for you, just honoring your word with donors, honoring your word with family members, honoring your word with your teammates. How has that changed your world?
Sure. I have a campus partner that I work closely with in academic advancement, and he does a lot of things to help my team enhance outcomes. And honoring your word, that whole and completeness, I think about a lot more when I'm working with someone like that. Not that I don't think about it all the time, but just because I know how much I rely and my team relies on him. When he asks me to do something, I want to be whole, complete, and honoring my word immediately so that we can continue to work together in a very positive way. So that's one example. And then, you know, outside of work, it's again back to follow up and follow through. You know, how can I, with my husband, with my family, with my parents, make sure that I find every interaction to be as complete as possible for them? Because it's actions speak louder than words. Words speak very loudly. You know, all of those things kind of together tie into the same feeling of completeness and integrity. Is that?
Yeah.
If I want.
Yeah. Well, no, it's great. I have an example from my own life just a few weeks ago with my older daughter. Your older daughter is not driving yet, but mine is.
No.
Yeah. Well, wait till that comes. Then you're gonna learn about integrity. Really. So, you know, she was out with the car at night. She's driving. She's out with the car at night. She says she was going to be home at a certain time, and then she was late. And by the way, this happens in the professional world as well. People are late for meetings. It's not
that there's anything wrong with it, although some people make that wrong. It's just that it's not workable. For me, I had to have a conversation with my daughter about integrity because the impact, is it always an impact, right? We talk about impact in leadership. Mm-hmm. So the impact on me, and I shared with her, look, was like, I'm staying up for you. You said you were going to be home at a certain time. Now you're late, and I'm the impact on me is I'm worried about you because you did not communicate to me that you were going to be late. So I'm sitting here waiting for you. I'm waiting to go to sleep, and I'm worrying. You know. Yeah. So anyway, that's just one story for how this all comes together. It's in different aspects of your life.
Yeah. So we're in just a few minutes, we're going to give people something to try, which is going to be related to improv. But so to kind of set the context, Kristen, maybe you can share a story of how you use yes and, which is kind of the classic improv starting point. How do you use that with your team?
So I use that a lot of times in my one-on-ones and in our development team meetings when we're having conversations about prospects or we're having conversations about next steps or metrics or things like that. And it's a way to open up the conversation. So yes, and tell me a little bit more about how you might envision that prospect talking to you about their family. Or yes, and how will I know that you're going to be making those phone calls or opening up to be a conversation about, yes, and let's think a little bit more about what they said to you. She told you a little bit about the English department and how influential that was in her college experience. What do you think you might want to ask the next time you see her? And I do notice a lot when someone says but in a conversation now, it feels different than when you say yes and. Mm-hmm. The yes but almost closes it off and it doesn't allow you to continue talking about whatever topic it is, but the yes and invites a continued openness to engage in that conversation. And by doing that, it allows a better give and take, and the body language actually changes when someone says yes but instead of yes and. Mm. And so I've seen that in some of my meetings that I've had.
What do you, tell us a bit more about that. What do you see?
Sure. It's almost, defensive isn't the right word, but it's almost as if I've made my decision. It's yes, but we can't do that because, or yes, but in the past this hasn't worked, as opposed to yes, and we tried it this way once. Tell me a little bit more about how you envision it working in this direction, which allows you to be a little more innovative in your thinking and problem solving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what you're saying. What I have experienced is that the but is definitely like yes, but it's like it just immediately negates the yes. And as fundraisers and as leaders, there are times for us to say no, but more often than not, when we're kind of out, I'd love your to hear maybe more of a question, like when you're out creating stuff in the world, the yes and, how have you experienced the yes and in terms of creativity or new possibilities?
Sure. You know, with working with a donor, you know, the ultimate goal is to work with them and educate them about philanthropy and identify what is important to them and how does that overlay with a college priority. And the yes and out in the field with a donor draws out those things that are important to them. And from that, it allows me or any of my other gift officers to match that to where we are in our Now to Next campaign. What is it about academics that really interests this person? And how do we come to a place where they're having the impact that they desire through our conversations here at the college? And it's, well, there are in every campaign, there's always guide rails of where the priorities lie. Within those priorities, inspiring a gift to something that's very, very personal to a donor through a yes and conversation tends to lead to something more impactful in a campaign setting than not.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really ties back, like you were saying earlier, like listening to, you're listening to understand, and like David's pointing, when you're yes anding, you're expanding possibilities.
Yeah.
When you're saying no or yes butting, which is really no.
It is. Yes, but is a no. Yeah.
Except where people think more polite. It's like, just say no if you mean no, you know, because people feel like it's a no, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's so easy as a, like just to think about frontline fundraiser, major gift officer, you know, you've got your list of priorities. You go meeting with a donor. You're talking about what the donor wants, right? We're what we call level two listening in our coaching course, right? We've got all our focus on the donor. And then the donor says, well, I'm really interested in this. And you say, yes, but that's not a priority. Like, okay, lead balloon alert.
Yeah, it's like shut down. So
yeah.
As opposed to yes, and let's think about how that might fit into some of the priorities we've outlined and make sure that it's a good
fit. Here's the other thing I want to say about it. There are times when those conversations just are not going to match up. But here's the thing about yes and is there's another campaign coming down the road. Priorities change over time. The donor, you know, there's the engagement piece. Keep engaged with the donor. Keep yes anding. And so what do you want the audience to try?
I would like the audience to try to incorporate yes and into as much of their integrated life as they can. Mm. For a couple, try it out. See how it feels when you're sitting with someone and you say yes and as opposed to yes but, and watch their body language change with your families. Yes and your family. Yes, and I know you really want to watch this, so can we watch my show after?
It's great.
Yeah. I think people will enjoy that. So so thank you again, Kristen, for coming and joining us. As I said, I think like having you think about, you know, how your own leadership journey is impacting your whole life, I think will really inspire other people to think about their, you know, personal and family situation and how they can take some of their lessons. So it's always a joy. You have so much energy and passion. And so for me, just knowing that we were going to talk to you today brought me so much joy.
Oh, I'm so grateful to hear that. Thank you.
You're our favorite mom go.
Oh, thanks.
And if you want to know what a mom go is all about, you can definitely read Kristen's article on the fundraising leadership blog site. It's chock full of great stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So we are going to invite you to say yes and go put that into practice. And we will see you again soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye.